Grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this fourth Sunday of Advent comes to us from the reading of the prophet Micah, the fifth chapter. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Thus far the text. My dear friends in Christ, it is a great joy for me to be with you here this morning. If you don't know me, and even if you do, my name is Louis Pulzin. I am a fourth-year seminarian at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and I am a son of this congregation, one whom you have graciously supported, both financially and prayerfully. Thank you. It is my privilege to have accepted the pastor's invitation to preach the Word of God to you this morning, and so I hope to do. In the text this morning, we have this very nice, very comforting passage that predicts the Messiah, the Christ. It's certainly easy for us, isn't it, to hear these words and remember the Christmas story. You know, that one where Joseph takes Mary, his betrothed, down to Bethlehem, and they go and get registered under Caesar Augustus's census. We look at that and we go, oh, sure, Bethlehem. Yes, the Messiah, yes. And then we shut our ears up. It's not that we're trying to be difficult. Not at all. I just feel like we've heard it all before. Jesus is going to come. He's going to rule. He's going to be a cool kind of shepherd. Something about peace. It's all very Christmassy, isn't it? Yeah. No! You see, if you think that, you're already missing the point. It's not Christmas. It's not Christmas yet. The world thinks that we're already at Christmas. They thought we were at Christmas since Easter. And a lot of churches think the same thing. But we're not there yet. It's not even Christmas Eve. We are in Advent. We're not at Christmas morning. What's the point of the text? Now, you've been over this, right? I mean, if you listen to the children's sermon at all, what is Advent about? Waiting. And what are we waiting for? Are we waiting to open up presents on Christmas morning? Are we waiting for that feast that we're going to have on Christmas Day? Are we waiting for our family to arrive back in town? Are you waiting for Santa? If you are, if that's your focus in this season, dear Christian, I am sorry to say you have missed the point of Advent. We Christians, we who have cause to celebrate in this season, we are waiting for Jesus to come. We are waiting, and we have been waiting for 2,000 years. We have been waiting ever since our crucified and risen Lord took bodily leave of us in this world, when he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of his Father. We are waiting for him to come back. We're waiting for him to end this world, this awful, sinful world, and to remake it according to his will and his promise. And we wait. And we wait. And we wait. You see, that's the point of the passage in Micah. Micah wrote this beautiful prophecy to a people in waiting. They were waiting to see the Messiah. They didn't know that when he would be coming. They didn't know when God would come to earth. They didn't know what he would look like, what he would say, what he would do, what he would be. They didn't know any of this. They heard the prophecy, and they waited. They waited. And they waited. They hear that the ruler, the Messiah, is going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, if I were a Jew living 700 years before Christ when Micah wrote this passage, And I heard those words of the prophet Micah. I'd go and park my rump on a hill near Bethlehem, and every time I heard the cry of a newborn, I'd get myself down to the city to see what's going on. I'd go see if it were the Messiah. I'd go and see what's up. I'd train other people to take the watch so that when I get old, the watch would stand. I'd train them up so that no matter how long it took, even if I died, we would know when the Messiah would be born. You see, we already know the place. We just need to know the time. We'd be waiting. And that's our problem. We are not waiting anymore. We Christians have stopped waiting for the Messiah to come. I don't really know when it happened, but Christendom stopped waiting for Jesus. I don't know if it's that we don't believe that he's coming back. I don't know if it's that we've actually just stopped believing in him altogether. Do you know that for the first few hundred years of Christianity, every generation sincerely believed that Jesus was going to be coming back the next day? They were honestly and truly convinced that the Lord would return in his majesty and glory tomorrow. They believed that they were not long to suffer in the world because the Lord was coming back soon. It's no wonder that James says in chapter 4 of his epistle, "You don't know what tomorrow will bring. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live. Or we will do this. Or we'll do that." They thought their lives could end at any moment, and the resurrection of the dead would happen, and life as we know it would cease and be remade. But we don't wait. We don't look for the second coming of the Christ. We don't look for the second advent. We don't wait for the return of Jesus. Instead of saying that the Lord is returning soon, we hope the world doesn't end. We hope the world keeps on spinning. We like the little lives that we've made. We like our cars and our houses and our toys and our friends and our stuff. Now, who is our God now, King of Kings? Who is your God? Because I can tell you that my heart is a little idol factory. And I am deep down just glad that I've made my family my God, and my friends my God, and even my little electronic toys my God. What are yours? Who is your God? You see, my heart is depraved. And so is yours. I don't wait for Jesus. And neither do you. Because we have other gods here and now, don't we? You know how I know this about you? I've lived among you. I know your sins intimately. This is the reason that Jesus says in Luke's gospel that no prophet is ever welcome in his hometown. The prophet. Even the preacher. He knows the sins of the people that he's been with forever. And people don't like that. People don't like to be called out. People like to reject their Christ and welcome their own little gods. But I'm calling you out, King of Kings. You see, I know your sins. I know that you and I, we grumble against our leadership, don't we? We have made a good leader our God. I know that you and I enter and leave this place looking for good entertainment. We have made a good experience our God. I know that you and I hold grudges against one another. We have made vengeance our God. I know that you and I have made complaining our God. I know that you and I have made the perfect church, the perfect youth program, the perfect job, the perfect spouse, the perfect children. I know that we have made all of these things our gods. And for this, I know that we are deep, deep, deep in sin. We are no longer waiting for the one true God, Jesus Christ, to return, because our gods are right here. They're in our hearts, and they're in our minds, and they're in our hands. We deserve to be damned for this. This breaking of the first commandment. But that's not the promise of Jesus. The promise of Jesus is that he would shepherd us. The promise of Jesus is that he would be our peace. The promise of Jesus is that he shall return his lost brothers of Israel to his people. Those are his promises to us. This is gospel. This is good news, my friends. Though your sins be like scarlet, you shall be white as snow. Your garments like the pure driven snow. How is this to be done? How can I turn my heart to Jesus? How can I cast down my false idols? How can I cast out my grumbling and complaining and coveting and make room for Jesus? I can't. Neither can you. But Jesus can. And Jesus does. Let me explain how this works. Whether we wait for Jesus to return in actuality or not, it doesn't really matter. We should. But if we don't look expectantly towards his second coming, we Lutheran Christians, we in our theology and practice, we have a great handle on this. For we know that we already have Jesus here with us. Not only does Jesus promise that where two or more are gathered in his name, there he shall be, but he also promises himself to us in baptism. Every time that water is poured on someone's head, Jesus is here. Every time we invoke the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus is here. Every time we invoke the Lord's word in the institution of the supper that happens on this altar with the bread and the wine, Jesus is here. Every time my mouth is open to receive that bread, Jesus is on my tongue. Every time my throat opens to receive that wine, Jesus' blood goes down into my body. We know that Jesus is here. And this is how the early Christians looked to the coming of the Christ. This is how they knew that he had already been here, as Micah promised. This is how they knew that Jesus will come again, because Jesus was already in their presence. We cannot see him bodily. Not now. But he has promised to be among us. And where the Savior is among his people, there is salvation from your sins, even your idol making. This is how Jesus will shepherd us, that he will lead us wayward, idol-creating sheep back into his fold. And then he will guard the gate using his means. Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. This is how Jesus will be our peace. For in a troubled and turbulent world, Jesus is present in my ears and in my mouth. This is how Jesus will return his lost brothers of Israel, that he will break down the altars that we have constructed to our false gods, and he will set himself up in the temple of our hearts. This is how Jesus washes us and feeds us and instructs us. My brothers and sisters in Christ, these are Jesus' promises. The people of Micah's day, even if they had set a watch to look for the coming Messiah, would never have expected to see the church as it is today. They never would have expected to see us worshiping the God of Israel by eating his flesh and drinking his blood and being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. No one expected the Messiah this way. But this is how the Lord comes. He comes modestly and hidden in these elements. He comes in ways that seem antithetical to this world. He comes not with pomp and circumstance, but lowly. Born of a virgin, laying in a manger. And he accomplishes all of his promises, not with a sword or with tanks or guns, but by giving himself up to his enemies, so that they would take him up a hill and nail him with simple nails to simple wood, and hang him on a cross until he is good and dead. This is Jesus' way. It's a simple way. It's a strength-filled way. And it's a way that no one would expect. So now we await a day where, after having received Jesus for 2,000 years in simple ways, through the Word and through the water and through the bread and the wine, we await a day when Jesus will simply come back, not in a way that people cannot see, but gloriously, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken it. He has promised that he shall return, and so we wait. He has promised that he has cleansed us from our sins, and so we wait. He has promised us that he will lead us into his eternal flock, and so we wait. He has promised to bring peace to this earth, and so we wait, and we expect him to come. Hear the words of the Apostle John in the 22nd chapter of Revelation. "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' And let the one hear who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Jesus, who testifies to these things, says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.